And we're back on the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Lord Taco. And with us, Brian Stone. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Doing good.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy about this. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to bring back one of my favorite bits on the show, Binary Roulette. We're going to play that in a little bit. Brian, it's going to be a little bit new to you, but it helps kind of ground this whole show. The reason we started this show back in 2018, we didn't think the lineup was full of a lot of bands that we were familiar with. So we thought, how can we make ourselves familiar with acts that are on the lineup and have some fun with it? And my co-host at the time, Brad Steiner, came up with Binary Roulette. We spin the wheel, we land on an act that we've never heard of, and then we go do a little research. So that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, right?
For the first 10 years of this festival or so, maybe closer to 10, and, you know, a decade and a half, I knew so much of every lineup. And then that's probably about the time frame for 17, 16, or well, maybe 16, 17, 18. It was like, okay, now I'm getting older. Now I don't know what all this stuff is. And it's gotten more and more that way. That's just the evolution of the music industry and where the festival is. So it's been fun to take a little bit of a, I won't say deep dive, but a little bit of a shallow end wading pool, wading in the waters.
Yeah. And to me, that's been the transition probably at the core of why we like this festival and festivals in general. And I'm old. We're going to get into that in a minute. But to me, it's the discovery. That's the thing that this festival has changed about music is used to be, you know, if you didn't know who the band was, you didn't go. You wouldn't buy a ticket. You wouldn't spend the money. And now it's like, man, I want to go find somebody I've never heard of. Right. And that's the big thing. So just real quick, a little bit about all of us, part of the fun, because if you're new to this show and you're new to the festival, I assume you have no clue why you should care. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Russ with the bus, he will park his VW Westfalia anywhere, anytime, anyhow, doesn't care.
That's right.
Russ is the easiest going guy.
I'm in it right now.
Shows up on Tuesday. Yeah shows up on a Tuesday on the farm in Manchester.
He records the damn podcast in it. For crying out loud.
Doesn't care who's on the lineup, right?
No, really don't. And I think one year, maybe I've always thought about this. How long can you really physically stay there on the farm? At what point do they just come up to you and be like, it's time to leave? Because, you know, we always stay till Monday, or at least I do. What if you stayed till Tuesday? What if you stayed till Wednesday?
Well, if you don't know the answer to this, nobody
I don't,
does.
But I kind of want to find out. Like, just maybe hit the stopwatch and then just wait and see how long until somebody, you know, picking up trash or something comes by and is like, dude, what are you doing here? Or, you know, it's time to leave.
Yeah, like we joked last year. You're like, I'll lock up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll close the gate.
Yeah, I'll turn the lights out. Don't worry. I got it.
I'll turn the lights out. Russ is an easy get along guy. Brian is the guy that if Eddie Vedder isn't playing, he ain't going. He will also sit in a car and listen to Pearl Jam while Paul McCartney's playing.
Well, that's a little bit of hyperbole, but you're not far off. There was a year that I sat in the car listening to the Shins for like 5 hours a day. And then once the Shin show was there on Sunday, I was like, yeah, I'm done with that.
Brian will go on a walkabout and miss the music. I'm the guy that'll be like, I'm gonna go see it and walk by and then think, I've got a comfortable chair back at camp, so I'm gonna go sit in camp. So, but we're all veterans of Bonnaroo. I've been there since the beginning, missed 3 or 4 years. Brian, you've been there every year. Russ, you started in 2018, so we're big time fans of this festival. We have different tastes, and that's part of the fun, but we love everything about it, right? I mean,
yeah. And what I like about this idea for the show today, which again I know you guys have done in the past, I've always been a semi contributor and lurker to the show, so I'm familiar with it. But what I like about it is that Bonnaroo has always been known for, since the jump of music discovery, and I'm not that big on going to see music that I've never heard before. I'm maybe call that stubborn, whatever the word would be. Hey, you got to go see this band. They're great. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Great. I'm sure you can say that about everybody here right now. If I'm not familiar with it, then I'm not generally going to be as interested in seeing it. Now that's not been true in every single instance of my life, but most of the time, but give me a taste, give me a dose, and then you might have hooked me. And that's what something like this really helps with.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And that's, again, it goes back to what I'm saying, that there are different types of fans. Do you go because so and your favorite band is on the lineup? Or do you go because, like, I've said it 100 times, my new favorite band on Sunday morning when we're cleaning the house is Bahamas. I had no clue who Bahamas was.
I wouldn't know the name if it wasn't for Bonnaroo.
I know. Walked up on that, literally walked up and just fell in love with his music and came home, and that's what I listened to on Sunday morning. It's mellow. It's nice. Had no clue, right? What are you laughing at, Russ?
Just,
you know, you remember the...
I don't know. I don't know the band, but just to your point, you know, even if you're not familiar with who they are, you might just walk up, you know that there's some reason that somebody decided to put them on a stage at Bonnaroo, and whether it's your taste or not, you know that there's a reason, you know.
Yeah, Warren Treaty. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many that I can reel off, bands that I'd never heard of, no clue, that are now, you know, go-tos for me, and that to me is the value of this festival and any festival. I mean, I want to see the bands that I'm familiar with. I want to see my favorites. I mentioned Paul McCartney, obviously. You know, that was the seminal moment in my life. But I love the Bahamas, the show, just as much, because I didn't see that coming, you know, and it's become a go-to. So that's kind of the point of this show, this Bonnaroulette, which, again, give full credit to Brad Steiner for coming up with it. I think it's a great title and a great bit, whatever. So just to explain, we don't have copyright, so we can't play the music. So we're going to spin a wheel, and we're going to land on, we all sort of picked a bunch of names of acts that we'd never heard of, right?
Yep.
On purpose. That's the whole point. I mean, no point in doing Red Hot Chili Peppers. We know what Red Hot Chili Peppers are, and whoever. So we picked a bunch of names that we've never heard of, and we're going
to
land on it.
There's a lot to choose from this year. A lot.
That's a great point. That's why we wanted to bring this back.
Perfect
timing.
That's
why we started this in 2018. Brad and I were sitting in a restaurant at lunch, and like, I don't know, 80% of the bands on this lineup, and this year is probably the same. So I think we're going to do it a couple of times, right? Not just today. We may do it again a couple of weeks from now or whatever.
Yeah, there's plenty,
so much that
yeah,
we
there's
know.
Plenty to pick from.
All right, so here we go. Russ, you're going to spin the wheel, and we're going to see where it lands, and then we're going to, in theory, go away and listen to this music, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. I don't know any other way to do it. Do you?
Best way to do it,
right.
Yeah.
Here.
Spin the wheel, Russ.
Spin the wheel, all right.
All right, and landed on Geese.
Geese.
What do you guys know about Geese?
Geese. Oh, what a great place to start.
So you're telling me this is not Goose?
No. And funny thing about that, there are two different bands called Goose. And I know this because I tried to get them if you guys will remember back during the pandemic when Bonnaroo did the digital show, mm-hmm. Goose crushed.
Yeah, that was a standout act.
Absolutely crushed. And I reached out to get them on our show. Well, there's a band in Europe called Goose. Not the same.
Well,
I got an email back.
Where we're starting there with Goose, I'm glad we or Geese, Geese. And then bringing up Goose to begin with is because my first thought was, well, there's already a ridiculously stupid band named Goose. Do we really need to have a band called
the plural?
Geese? Clearly, somebody thought that was a good idea. Experimental rock out of Orange County. First impressions are solid. I don't know where they are in the lineup, but it's got to be. Yeah, they're on Thursday. 818,000 listens on a monthly listens on Spotify, which if you didn't know any better, you'd think that sounds like a lot. Mm-hmm. Not compared to most anybody we're going to be potentially talking about right. today. So right. they are still a very up and coming band. And Barry, you'll appreciate this. This is why I was hoping we would eventually get to this. Rolling Stone is quoted as saying, "You can hear New York City guitar zone out Zen masters like television." And then had like three or four other 70s, 80s and punk and inspired bands. That's
yep.
You know, Rolling Stone said that, you know, not me yep. or
I'm glad best, you I'm glad not. You mentioned that and yeah. Cuz it's a great opportunity for me to completely name drop. See the poster behind me? Frank Zappa. That was given to me by none other than Richard Lloyd, the guitar player for Television.
Oh wow.
Who now lives here in our fair city
in Chattanooga. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that should draw attention to a lot of people. I mean, anybody that gets compared to Television draws my attention.
Yeah. You know. I mean, not many people of certain younger ages are going to have heard of that band, but anybody who is, you know, middle age and above that has any interest in experimental punk,
yeah,
transitional rock punk, they're familiar with the band Television, and so that's pretty cool. They played Coachella last year, Geese did, and so they are Orange County, so that's easy pickings for Coachella to choose from. But yeah. So they're that resume is slowly building, and with a Thursday slot, that's what that's for. And you never know, maybe Geese and Goose will be the headline co-bill act of 2026. You know, we'll see.
You know, when you're saying that, so Television, Marquee Moon is, I think, coming up on an anniversary. I know Rhino is going to re-release. That's Television's album that's, you know, literally changed music a bit. The point being, I think you said it earlier, Brian, we kind of have to trust Brian and Steven, who book Bonnaroo. They know what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? That's, again, goes back to, you know, I've never heard of them, but these guys have. So, you know, maybe not my taste, maybe not my thing, and we're going to get into that again as we go through this.
Well, and I think the festival as a whole, and it's, you know, over all the years and all the shows recently, we've talked about the changes. One thing that's never really changed is that if you paid attention at all, if you were regular, if you just weren't a one-off or industry types like we all have been, the trust factor was the biggest thing from the from the jump point, and they gained it so quickly. And then when they went away from the jam thing and transitioned, a lot of people lost a lot of trust, a lot of those originals. But they quickly built that right back up in a different way. And trust has always been a factor. And if you don't trust what they're doing, you just don't like this kind of stuff, right? Like, so they layer it right. You guys have done shows discussing the entire philosophy for how this is done. If you missed that episode, that's a great rundown look at how this is strategically done. And if they think it's a good idea, it probably is.
Yeah, no, that's my point. And Brian and Steven, just to bring it around, those are the guys with AC Entertainment, now C3 Presents, Live Nation. They've been booking this band, this festival forever, and it's not an accident. They don't book bands, and you can go back to our episodes, and Taco, you can put the link in. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident. They work year round. They work years in advance. You know, they're already thinking about who they might book 2 years from now. So, yeah,
it's really pretty fascinating process.
I think it's amazing.
And they're
good at it.
That Coachella, I'm sure, has the same formula to a certain degree. Other long-term festivals worldwide, like Glastonbury and places like that, I think they probably have similar philosophies. And to find these bands, which a lot of us would consider niche, that are not, they're a little bit more than niche. It's just because you haven't heard of them, you think, oh, that's just some niche band that, you know, only a select few like.
Yeah,
Let's look at the numbers on Spotify. It shows it's more
exactly. It's not just because they got 55 bazillion. It's how does it fit in the lane, as we talk about. How does this band fit with the ones before them and the one after? Brian Benson, Steve Green are the two that we're talking about. All right. So let's go. We ready to spin the wheel again?
Let's spin it.
Spin the wheel.
Half Moon Run. Never heard of.
Sounds like a trail race coming up this week on Lookout Mountain, right?
It does. What's the benefit? It's some the
kind
charity.
Of road, some kind of road race downtown. A lot of runners around here, for those of you who aren't local. But
I got to be honest with this one. I listened to them and immediately hated it. hated it.
I don't know if I'm going to go so far to say hate, but it didn't jump off the page of anything that I was going to be probably enamored with for any length of time. The only quick thoughts when I did just a quick, who is this band? They're a 3-piece Canadians. They're out of Montreal.
Yep.
And, you know, you always wonder, just because you have a 3-piece band, where do all these sounds come from? Sometimes, especially Nashville, you know, the Nashville-based music scene, you got a 3-piece band, but you got like 15 people behind you, studio musicians playing to make all those sounds. So I'm not sure how Half Moon Run does it, but there's a lot of sound, and I don't mean noise in a bad way. There's a lot of noise. It's very blended, and with only three guys doing it, excuse me if there might be a female member in the band, but a lot of sounds from just three people from Montreal.
Well, I've got notes. My first thought was they take themselves way too seriously. It was just too precious. And so much so that...
Precious.
Precious.
I like that.
I know, right? Precious. That goes back... I did an interview with Glenn Tilbrick from Squeeze. And I was like, what happened after you guys, you know, wrote those hits? And he said, every word became too precious. And I've never forgotten that. So that was my immediate reaction. And so I felt bad at my reaction. So I went back and I listened again. I don't hate it. It's good. It's not my thing. And maybe it was just that initial reaction. Well, it's good stuff. But I get what I get what you're saying. It's
a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Music that's not designed and curated for the general public is complicated, and it's not a listen to it once or twice and like, oh, I got it, I get this.
Yeah,
you've got to give it a few spins. Sometimes that's what annoys me with, you know, a lot of indie stuff, and that's what makes it great. To the people who love it, is that it's not that. And that's why I like a lot of that stuff too. But it's real easy to be like, all right, yeah, I don't know about this one. My first thought was, I don't love it either. 1.1 million monthly listeners on Spotify. So
somebody likes it.
I mean, that's a pretty good number for a band who is on Friday, all the way down in the bottom line of Friday. So, you know, they're going to be on this or that tent at like noon or something like that on a Friday.
Well, bands that you listen to their studio stuff, they sound completely different live. And if it's just a three piece, maybe it's just three of them on stage. Maybe it's a different outcome when it's just played live.
And they might loop some of that stuff with the bands that loop so much these days, which I am a fan of. I think the looping technology of, which is not like a new way of making music, but it's still only done by a select few. It's a very difficult thing to do. Maybe they loop some stuff too. So I do believe, based on the way that it sounds, that watching it live could bring out a completely different
process.
Yeah. Very well could be.
And, you know, I've said this many, many times. I'm only recently a lyrics guy. I was always about the hook. I mean,
Huh?
6-7 years.
Man, yeah. I've always been, that's been a big part with me. And I think part of it is because I'm such a bad poet. Like, songwriting, which I believe is just a version of poetry, I'm not good at it. And when I hear it, when I see it, it's always been something big for me.
My whole life, I could probably go through my whole life and tell you the songs that I love and could not tell you what they're about. I mean, yeah, it's weird.
I'm not trying to be pretentious about it. Like, I've got the meaning of life out of every song. So Van Halen's Jump, did you like it at first and then realize it was the worst lyrics ever?
Yeah. The better example is Scissor Sisters, I think, Whole New Way of Loving You. I recommended my daughter when she was in high school that she should play that as part of her soccer team's warm-up music. And she was like, good God, do you know what that's about?
There's some good TikTok accounts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There's some good TikTok accounts where it's like somebody or listening to some songs like, hey, I want to show you kids what I used to listen to. And then they play the lyrics and he's like, oh, no, turn it off. I can't give you a good example, but it's like a song about suicide or something. And yeah, it's like the whole time he's been humming along like, you know, he's going to a family picnic. So I get that. I totally get that. It is remarkable to me too, though, Barry, to speak to the of lyrics and whether they mean something or not.
It's like Afternoon Delight.
I'll still listen. Exactly. Yeah. I'll listen to songs that I've known for 30 years, and then for some reason run across the lyrics while I'm looking. I'm like, oh
yeah,
that's what they're saying. And I don't mean like excuse me while I kiss this guy kind of stuff. Exactly. I mean,
not like misheard.
Like,
yeah,
I know.
I thought they were saying something totally different for 30 years. And so anyway.
Yeah, no. So my point being, I did not dive deep enough into their music to know that, you know, maybe why it resonates with so many millions of people. I just know when I first heard it, I thought, oh, that's just a little too precious. And then I went back and I liked it. So I get it. So, all right, what's the next one? Let's do it a couple more times.
Spin the wheel.
This is maybe one of my favorite band names. And God love bands. I can't imagine the challenge of trying to come up with a band name. But Cigarettes After Sex.
I was hoping that's where we were landing next.
That's pretty funny.
That's a great band name. And on my podcast over the years, I haven't done it in a while. It's not really a bit, but a I can't remember what I call it. The Brian Stone Band Naming Institute of Technology. Like, come to me, I will help you make a better band name than Geese, you know, or something like that. It's all a joke. I can't come up with a better band name, but there are so many stupid bad band names. And in my experience into the last 15-20 years of technology innovation, if you don't have an easily searchable band name, I don't know who your artist management is. I don't know who's advising you, but like, man, that's just a recipe to never be found as the ocean that the internet is. But Cigarettes After Sex, it's a little provocative. It's a little like, what is that? You know, the 1980s moms would be like, oh no. But
are they upset about the sex part of the cigarette?
They don't know. They don't know what they're mad about. Right, I think it's a brilliant brand name.
Me too.
Hilarious. But we've talked about this before. We've had bands like, you know, they picked a name and we're like, are you happy with that? And they're like, we thought it was a one-off, you know, and it stuck. I can't think of who, Russ. I mean,
I've talked to so many bands that have that same story. That is a very typical story. Is like, it's not what we planned on, but eventually that's just what happened. And once you get any recognition at all, you don't really want to change it unless you've got like Diarrhea Planet from Nashville.
Diarrhea Planet, Nashville Pussy. You can never put that in the paper.
What are you doing?
You can't put that. I know, right?
What are you doing?
Exactly.
And Diarrhea Planet had a big, a good career. They had the reunion at Bonnaroo, I believe, just last year. They had a remarkable run. And they would play Chattanooga here in little rinky dinky shows 15 years ago. And I never got to meet the guys, and I didn't want to insult them as just some guy at the show, but I'm like, what in the hell is the matter with you?
And you also don't want to pick a name that you have to explain over and over and over. Like, even My Morning Jacket, I've seen interviews with those guys where, you know, dumb doofuses like me in the media are like, where'd you get that name? And I'm like, really? Again, we got.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna name yourself something, especially the three word thing, which started in the probably in the night. Well, I don't know, Three Dog Night. It probably started in the 50s, whenever it started. That three name thing. Sometimes it's like, if you're gonna name yourself something a little bit, mysterious, you're gonna get asked dumb questions like, "What is My Morning Jacket? Did you have a jacket? Did you wear it in the morning? I mean, did you?
The Beatles,
was it ironic because you wore it in the evening?"
Yeah, are you the Beatles because of the crickets? Buddy Holly, you know, it's funny. Yeah. And beat, you know, B-E-A-T. So, yeah, you got to be very careful about picking. But,
yeah, you know, we talked
huge. We'll get back to Cigarettes After Sex.
They're good.
They're monsters.
Yeah.
They are really popular. I had no clue of anybody we've even threw out there as suggestions to look at for today as we continue to dig towards the bottom of the list. They're not towards the bottom, but none of us had heard of them, or at least weren't familiar other than maybe heard that name.
Just heard the name.
They've got 6-7 times more the monthly listeners on Spotify than anybody else will be talking about on this show in this capacity. Almost 25 million monthly listeners, which is nothing. That is everything. That is huge.
It's a lot of cigarettes and a lot of sex.
A lot of sex and cigarettes.
That's what I was getting ready to ask. What do the fans call them? I mean,
that's a good question.
Do you say we're going to go see Cigarettes After Sex? Or
like, you got
cigs,
like what's the way they abbreviate?
Yeah, what's the short? Yeah,
CAS?
Exactly. I got nothing.
Cigs.
Cigs.
Who knows?
Yeah. You going to the Cig show? I don't know.
I don't know. It's very sleepy. It's very trance-inducing. Almost a. I was thinking of this last night and I wondered if it would go over well, depending on the demographic of the listeners. But it's almost like a cross between War on Drugs and old Mazzy Star from the 1990s. It's got that kind of just, we're just listening to the, you know, I mean, I don't mean bad, good. I'm just saying it's tranquility all everywhere. Dreamlike sequence style stuff. I first heard one of their songs on TikTok. Heavenly is the name of it, and it is since on my Spotify list. I love it. I love, love, love it. But I could totally see someone saying, man, did I come here to take a nap? I mean, is this the field where I have enough room to lay down and snooze for? And I literally don't mean that joking, like, because oftentimes people find time to take naps. Mm-hmm.
Kind of the first three bands that we talked about are a little bit that way. Is that a thing this year? Are the sleepy bands a thing? I know there's a bunch of EDM. I mean, am I reading too much? But
maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, I talk about it a lot here locally that pains my soul. Rock and roll.
Oh, 100%. It's dead.
It's 100%. Dead. I mean, just good old fashioned rock and roll is still got its niche. That's where we're at. It's niche. I love good rock and roll. Well, then you're in that corner over there, buddy. And mm-hmm. that sucks. So maybe because like the War on Drugs are not, I mean, they're a rock band. Barely. I mean, they really are a sleepy band that I happen to love. But yeah, I think that might be a little bit of a trend. We'll see as I'm a long ways away from knowing for sure.
Yeah. All right. All right, let's spin it again.
Spin the wheel.
All right, another one that I've never heard of, and I hope I'm saying it right, Tizo Touchdown.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Y'all have a clue about this?
I thought it was a typo at first.
I think the whole lineup looked like that.
I know. Who's typing this thing out?
I think I remember in 20. It's funny you say that. 2018, Brad and I, we did this show. I was like, I was so afraid to say names because I was going to get them wrong.
Yeah, I do that all the time. I'm terrible at that.
But this is a little more urban. I wouldn't say EDM. It's rap.
It's right. Rap. It's he's, if I remember right, I didn't, I was just glancing a minute ago, 23, 24, 25, young guy, has been featured on Tyler, the Creator, yep. Music with Tyler, the Creator. He's been featured with Travis Scott, who I think is just some of the worst rap ever, but most people disagree. And then he's been featured with Drake. And that's not a top of the list of that kind of stuff. That's huge.
It is.
For almost 5 million listeners a month on Spotify. A quick categorization was alt hip hop rap rock. I didn't hear that when I did a quick listen. I would not have thought alt hip hop. Well, maybe I would think alt hip hop, but rap rock, I'm not sure.
I liked what I heard. I think it was Modern Jam. But I also looked up some of the lyrics, and it's kind of one of those. I've wondered when this was going to start happening. Like the lyrics, baby, please get off the gram. I like you better in the stands. I upgrade my only fan. It do or don't need a cam. I wondered when things like that were going to start finding their way into lyrics, like Instagram and all this stuff.
Is it unfair to say that the popularity of like the Megan Thee Stallions and those types might be bringing a lot of that out? It seems like I've heard that in some of her music. That resonates with children. When I say children, I mean like 21-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like really young people.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
when you're
I mean,
singing,
it's their universe.
When you're singing about the gram, or it used to be the Insta, you know, I think right. That's like old people talk now, whatever. I mean, Instagram, is it that difficult to say just what it is? But, or IG, I think that stuff resonates because you don't have to think about it. You know, we're not going to have a podcast talking about, I wonder what that song's about.
Right. No, it's their universe. And, knowing full well this is you kids get off my lawn conversation.
Well,
that's this whole show.
We're a show we're a show hosted by middle-aged men who are a little bit cooler than the normal middle-aged men. We'll just at least say that.
That's my point, and I'm not trying to, I mean, it is what it is, and I like the music. I could listen to his stuff. It's just, again, it goes back to the, you know, thing we talked about a minute ago with Half Moon Run, you know, it doesn't have to connect with me, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
It'd be odd if it did.
Correct. Good point. So I liked it. Will I go see it? You know, maybe. just because I like kind of checking out what's going on. You know, I have no problem walking up on something and saying, that ain't for me, but I get it.
Sure.
When I used to have to review shows for the paper, I only asked two questions. What's the artist trying to do, and are they doing it well? And then I was okay.
So you had to understand the basis of where you're coming from. I get that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be for me.
And of course,
the schedule's not out this yet. Isn't.
Some of this may be dependent on schedule. If there's a conflict, you know, somebody else may win out. But if it's a slot where, it's midday and you've got nothing else to do, we could walk over there and check it out.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it. And I've told this story many times. Our friend Mike Dewar and Denson in Camp Nutbutter, you know, when EDM and the other, when they really switched over to EDM, Mike was like, I don't get it, man. What's with the EDM? Does it have a beginning, a middle, and an end? And I'm like, that's a great question.
It doesn't feel like
it. The answer's no.
Doesn't feel like it. So it was like 2 a.m. He said, I said, come on, we got to go listen. And we walked over and, you know, kids are in their rabbit suits and running around, and I'm listening. I like it. And the kids are looking over their shoulder at us. And I thought, well, they think we're cool. And then I realized they thought we were not. Yeah.
they think you're here to cause trouble.
Old guys.
Yeah. I mean, the EDM evolution has been such an interesting thing to watch, because it's been happening since the 90s. Rave culture became big then. I never really was involved with any of that. I wanted to be when I was quite young, because I wanted to be rebellious, and that's what people were doing. Mm-hmm. And I had parental supervision just enough not to let me do those things. And then by the time I got old enough to make those decisions for myself, I had long realized my life for the Thrill Kill Cult kids out there. If you're probably not familiar with that band, but many EDM acts would say that Thrill Kill Cult would be, you know, probably top of their legendary list of that kind of music. Drugs and wild noise. I mean, I hate to be so simplistic about it and try to corner. I don't want, you know, EDM fans, jam band fans don't like being cornered as just stoner drug users who go listen to that, because I'm a jam band guy. So I don't mean to do that, but sorry, that's kind of what a lot of it is. And also jam band community. Sorry, that's what a lot of it is. But boy, it's popular. So
no, I think I remember telling Dewar Mike at that time, I mean, you know, their parents hate it. So it's their thing. I mean,
their parents really hate it.
Right. And that's the reason. So, all right, one more time. Let's do one more spin it.
Spin the wheel.
Oh, this will be fun. Neil Francis.
Which one?
Which one? Which one?
This is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Isn't this fun? I don't know. I have to believe Steven, again, going back to Brian Benson and Steven. God love them. This is genius.
They had to know, you know, it didn't accidentally fall this way.
This is no mistake.
It's hilarious. Yeah. There are two Neil Francis is. I'm not even going to try to write it. So we're going to talk about both of them, but kudos to those guys for booking Neil Francis and Neil Francis. So what do we think?
Well, I'll start with, first of all, I quickly did a search because I was trying to figure out the most popular, like famous Neils, how they spell their names. And it quickly, from Neil deGrasse Tyson to Neil Armstrong to Neil Young, they all spell it N-E-I-L. The first one that I'm going to reference is Neil N-E-A-L. And I didn't quickly see a famous name that spelled his name that way. Not that that looks odd to me or anything. But N-E-A-L Francis with the, it says outside, that's a Thursday performance night. It says Neil Francis and an apostrophe, so possessive of Francis Comes Alive. which is that's pretty neat. I like that play on Frampton.
Francis, yeah.
Yeah, and when I quickly did a listen, and this was a very quick listen, I love it. Yeah. I love the Neil Francis. The first two songs, I was like,
this Can't is Stop me. The Rain?
Yeah.
Can't Stop the Rain? Not the Ann Peoples, not the David Ruffin I Can't Stop the Rain song, because I had to, when I saw that title, I was like, I'm familiar.
Yeah, Can't Stop the Rain, This Time, and then Changes Parts 1 and 2 were the most popular listens, and that's where I started. And I was just immediately hooked, because it did have that rock and roll boom just kind of get you. If I didn't have plans on Thursday, which this year I will be there Thursday because I want to see what Pretty Lights on the Main Stage is, just to see what that looks like. That's like the... I've skipped Thursday in the last couple of years. I won't be skipping Thursday because of Pretty Lights in particular. But Neil Francis, Francis Comes Alive, in 2 minutes, you got a new fan. But he's still very much on the up-and-comer. 152,000 listeners a month. That's not a whole lot. Again, relative, but to a lot of these that we're talking about, I'll just start there. I love Neil Francis. N-E-A-L.
I'm with you. 100%. 100%. And that's what we love about Thursday. And that's what we love about Bonnaroo Roulette.
Well, that's where I never. Found, that's where I found Courtney Barnett in 2015.
Absolutely.
That was speaking of best. Our buddy Brad, founder of the show, he told me, and you know, Brad, for anybody who's not around, bounce around, doesn't get all the inside joke stuff. I mean, just murders me on a regular basis for all this stuff that he doesn't even believe half of it. It's just, you know, it's just funny to him, but he knows my taste. He knows what I like, and he doesn't steer me in a direction unless he knows that it's going to be something. And he told me that in 2015.
Yeah. It was, that show was amazing.
It was a Thursday. It was go to Courtney Barnett.
That was,
I usually roll my eye, whatever, Brad. Yeah. Back then, not as much these days. And boy, I've been, she's the love of my life. Jade Bird and Courtney Love are the loves of my life. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked.
Because I think it's important because that's the point of this show and that's the point of the festival.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have never found Courtney Barnett. I'm the same. That show was epic.
No, just some, you know, young lady playing guitar that's a little noisy at times with kind of a bad haircut. You know, I probably wouldn't have stopped and listened, depending on the situation, but it was one of my favorite shows of the last,
and it was a Thursday list. You're like, I don't care. I don't know anybody on this. I don't,
I've been drinking all day.
I'm here. It's Bonnaroo. Yeah,
I've already been here for 2 days.
She didn't even have blue hair.
Exactly.
Yeah. Didn't even have blue hair, not green or orange either.
We talk about it to this day, and I'm glad I'm with you with Neil Francis. I think it's my reaction was the same as yours. Immediate love. I love this. So.
And so we're talking about Francis with an I in the last name Francis, N-E-A-L Francis, but now the other Neil.
Is a DJ.
Yeah. Wasn't nearly as impressed, cared at all about that.
Thing.
It's not my thing as much. But let's, again, using Spotify as a barometer, 4 million monthly listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, back to what we're talking about, of what's popular and what works. And I don't know where this Neil falls. I'll look at it as we talk about it here on the list. But he is not Thursday. It's
no, I think it's later.
It's like Saturday. It's Saturday.
They should have put him on the same day.
Probably a tense.
That would have been hilarious.
Tense,
yeah.
Maybe N-E-A-L shows up on Saturday and plays with N-E-I-L. Yeah. But I doubt it.
See, I don't know. I pulled this Billboard piece about it last week, and it was really more about just the fact that the names are that similar, not as much about the bands having any connection. I don't really think they hardly even
know each other. I think it's just people like us trying to make something out of.
Yeah.
But I hope, I have to believe Steven and Brian knew, because I'm going to give them credit because I think it's hilarious.
I do too. I mean, if nothing else, yeah. I mean, it's something to talk about, and that's half the battle sometimes.
Well, in the same in the same concept, there's two mics this year. There's a mic and there's a mic with a period. And I don't think they ended up on the wheel.
I wondered what you were talking about on the thread. We were talking mics. I didn't see that. Mic with a period. I see Mike on Saturday, and you're and there's Mike period on Friday. Yes. What is going on? What are we doing? I mean, this and this article, actually, some stuff I already knew. They start talking about how David Bowie changed his name because of the Davy Jones from the Monkees and all that stuff.
Right,
and most people who know rock history are aware of that. I did not know that in the 60s there was a band in somewhere in England called Nirvana that didn't have any real career, but they did initially use that name, and there was a little bit of struggle on that initially. I'm sure they worked it out legally. I just skimmed through it, but so they were going through and naming over the years people who had conflicts, and the conflict usually was resolved by, let's completely change the name of what we're doing to not confuse. And it appears we've changed. Speaking of all the change, we've moved on into the first quarter of the 21st century into, let's not change the name. Let's make it damn near exactly the same, except change one tiny thing that saves us from copyright and trademark. And let's confuse them on purpose. It's almost a bit.
Mike, let's put an ampersand or something in there.
Mike or Mike period. I've got to listen to that later on today. It's not on the wheel, but I'll have to listen to it.
All right, so good show. That's a lot of fun. We've got tickets to give away. What I think we want to do is use Bonnaroulette as a method. So let me find it again real quick. We're going to do similar to what we did last year. We actually, Taco, who is our resident nerd, sets all this kind of stuff up, and I mean that with love, set us up with a phone number, 423-667-7877, 423-667-7877. Call and tell us which band you think we should check out. Kind of similar to this Bonnaroulette. The whole idea is discovery. We're going to do it again because there's a bunch of bands on this
list. I actually, when you first mentioned, even on the show earlier, and as was brought up, because I'm still new with you guys on a regular basis, and we don't make it up as we go, but we kind of do. And I was thinking, want to do this again? I mean, I'm not sure we want to do this again.
Heck yeah.
And the more I look at this and the more I spend on it, just it wasn't even that long yesterday. I made my playlist. I started my playlist. I'm going to add to it as time goes on. And I started listening to it yesterday. And the Cigarettes After Sex would pop up. The Beaches were one that I was already a little familiar with the name, and I knew that it was music that I'd kind of like. I threw some of that on the playlist, and I had it rolling yesterday, and I was like, man, I kind of can't wait for June all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other day, I didn't really care.
That's the
fun.
That's the whole point of the show.
And I'd like to keep that keep that going, and until someone makes me do it, probably not going to do it.
No, so that's the point. So if you're listening and you want to win two tickets with GA Plus,
these are going to be GA Plus passes, right? And that comes with camping, right?
So call that number, 423-667-7877. Tell us which band we should check out. We're not interested. Well, I mean, that's so random. I started to say we're not interested in the one we should know about because
we should already know about, but that's the discovery.
Yeah, it's the discovery. So tell us about somebody we've maybe never heard of, and we'll put you on the wheel, so to speak. And some weeks from now, we'll spin the wheel, and maybe your name will pop up, and you can win two tickets. So That's how we're going to give them away.
And if you've already got tickets, if you know somebody who wants to go, you know, send this episode to them, share, and maybe get them on board, you know.
Yeah, we'll get that phone number out there, too. I love incorporating the phone calls. I love incorporating into this kind of medium, into this kind of show idea, other people's voices, other people's thoughts. And that's, again, I do want to quickly thank, and I went through it and made a few comments on our last video about the vibe of the festival potentially changing with the new ticket options of 1 and 2 days. And I had asked people to respond, and it looks like you more than normal did. And thank you for that, because I mean, it was a legitimate question. It's nice to have interaction. It helps for the show, but it was less about that, or wasn't at all about that for me. I was curious, and I still am, to know more and more about what you guys think changes for better or worse. Not the what stage, this. We all know what those are like. We all get the only question every year is the which stage going to be bad this year or not? Like everywhere else, we know what we're getting ourselves into.
Right.
So the vibe. So I appreciate anybody who took time out of the
day. I'm glad you mentioned that, because speaking of, you know, comments and interacting, maybe we ought to do another live show one day and just take questions and answer in real time, you know, and then have that kind of interaction as far as like a live show would go. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Absolutely. So we're going to do that. What other business, Russ? I know we had a bunch of things that we talked about.
I think we're going to link a Spotify playlist in the description and show notes of all these bands that we just went through with Bonner Roulette. So, you know, if you want to jump on the discovery with us, you know, you can listen to the playlist and kind of get familiar yourself.
I think what we will do along those lines is add to it, maybe.
Yes.
Because we could certainly, we've done it in the past where all three of us have created our own playlist, and we can do that, and we'll add to it. So it's an ongoing thing as we discover.
And as people call in with recommendations, I mean, we can definitely add them to the playlist too.
For sure. Yeah. But what I like too is, and Brian, I think, and you get it. It's not just listening to the sounds. It's doing the research and finding out, oh, these guys are from Canada, or these guys are connected to television or whatever.
It just gives a little bit more layer to it to me.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got to be talked into some things a lot of the times. And I mean, we've all dealt with this, and Barry, you the most, because you've been in this industry longer than any of us. Hey, you got to check this out. Hey, you gotta listen to my friend's band.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta watch this YouTube.
How many times have we all been
here?
Hey,
check that. Look at this on my phone. Yeah. Look at this on my phone. Right. No, God, well, enough. You know, that gets old. But when you start to learn more and you understand more and you layer it more and you know that this band might be from an area you're familiar with, or they're compared to a band that you recognize, okay, ding.
Yes.
I'll take an extra little glance at that. Yeah,
not
sure.
Not just that, but I've said it over and over. Everybody started somewhere. The Beatles, you know, the Beatles were nobody at some point. So, you know, don't wait. You don't have to wait until, you know, they're suddenly huge to discover a really good band. And that's the point to me. To me, the fun part is being like, you know, God dang, I saw those guys when there were 10 of us.
And that's what Bonner has been great at over the years.
Yeah,
what I find interesting, though, this is just a quick side note before we get out of here, is, and I did put them on my recommendations playlist because I like them, the band Milky Chance. They first played, and I think they were pretty brand new, around 17, if I remember. And they were on the main, they were on What? And it was an early day, and my favorite place in the world is the What stage at 4 o'clock. I mean the sun killing you, take that variable out because that obviously sucks.
Yeah.
But I mean, just for a music experience, because it's not too crowded, it's the best sounding stage in the world. I always say that. I haven't been to every stage in the world, but I believe it. And they played a 4 or 5 o'clock set. It was awesome. And then now I see them like on this year's Sunday, second from the bottom. So rather than working their way up, instead they've kind of fallen down. I don't know what that means. I just means it's just another way about, you know, the evolution of ebbs and flows of the music industry. So,
yeah. All right, guys, thank you. This has been a lot of fun. Worked out better than I hoped, and we're going to do it again. And thank you guys for listening. Thanks to Consequence. Like and subscribe and do all that stuff.
And call. Call our number, and you might win tickets.
Please call that number, 423-667-777. Peace.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.